Dit is New Business Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Water Talks on New Business Radio, a podcast and radio special inspiring the Dutch water sector and business professionals around the globe. Today, we're talking about raising awareness on the vital importance of socially inclusive behavior in international water projects and master planning. Tanya, I would like to start this third block off with you. You work as a project manager and project manager water and environment at Arcadis. What kind of projects is Arcadis working on abroad at this moment?
Well, we work on projects regarding environment and infrastructure, but mainly bringing the Dutch expertise on water management and resilience abroad, in Asia, in South America, US, everywhere.
Can you give an example?
As a project manager, I've been involved in all kinds of master planning projects in Asia. One of them is related to the development of a Delta strategy, in mm-hmm. which we involved over 9 government ministries and like more than 20 different stakeholder groups, NGOs, civil society groups. It's really a broad perspective. But we also noticed that it is, like I mentioned earlier, really time consuming to involve those people and organizations in a process.
It really takes
time to get an understanding about the projects we do. For us as Arcadis, besides those projects that are tendered by RVO, we also have a corporate social responsibility program. It's called Shelter. And with Shelter, we collaborate with UN Habitat to provide pro bono advice to support communities around the world in urban areas. So together with UN Habitat, on their request, we fly in over the last 10 years more than 200 colleagues mm-hmm. to different areas anywhere in the world to advise the local government, the municipalities on what we do and how we can help them on climate adaptation. For example, if they have to deal with floods, how can we improve the situation in the mm-hmm. urban area?
And you've just been back for 1 year, from working and living abroad in Asia. What's the added value of people from Arcadis being there on the spot with the foots on the ground to make the whole process more easy and quicker?
I think it's the key. It's the key to understand the local situation, the cultural and the political situation there. What we notice is that as an engineering firm, of course, we can bring in technical expertise, but you really need to understand the local communities to be able to make a maximized impact. Mm-hmm. For that, we are not working alone. We collaborate with other local partners all over Asia, with our other offices in Asia, but also at NGOs, for example, like Red Cross, mm-hmm. To make sure that we really reach to all the community groups, the vulnerable groups, and so on, in our projects, because it's really on the ground work, mm-hmm. and you need strong local teams to be able to do that, and we do that together.
Dennis earlier mentioned the Dutch approach. It's not working. Why isn't that working?
You should work together with the local government, but also with the local communities. In the end, they are your clients, or they are the beneficiaries of the project. Mm-hmm. So I think that is way more important than promoting the Dutch approach. Each country is different, each city is different, each government is different, so mm-hmm. you need to work differently with them, together with them. And there's not a Dutch approach that you can copy paste to other countries. However, you can take the good aspects of the Dutch approach and try to adapt it to the local situation or translate it to a local situation.
Can you give an example of the good aspects?
Well, I think in the Dutch approach, we really look to water management from an integrated perspective. So we want to look at it from the different interests and different angles in the situation. So and for that, it is important to involve the agriculture sector, mm-hmm. The environmental sector. So the integrated approach, I think that is something that we can really learn from the Dutch
to the people in those countries who are dealing with the local situation over there.
Yes.
Dennis, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You may even wonder if there's such a thing as the Dutch approach, even though we've to be fair, we've marketed in such a way about 5 to 10 years ago. The Dutch approach, in a way, you know, water governance and water management is very much also related to culture, and the way we are managing our own water system is also very much part of our culture. Having started our water authorities, our water boards in the 1500s, and the way we collaborate with each other, and always the multi-stakeholder approaches that we always have, working together with farmers and cities and local governments in keeping our feet dry, that's not to be replicated elsewhere. So we should always keep that in mind. But what we do, I think, besides the integrated approach, right, which I think is very, very valid, and that I think that's still quite unique and good that we do that. So we looked at all different aspects of a water management challenge. But lately, I think what's also very important, we've been promoting also a lot of green solutions, which I think are also often very beneficial to the local population.
What's a green solution, Dennis?
Well, for example, instead of building a concrete seawall, recreate or bring back a mangrove forest.
Yeah, exactly, mangrove.
Or in the city, that Aditi was talking about, the city of Chennai, creating more green spaces so that the water can be stored better and can be absorbed better by the soil, while currently it's a lot of concrete and the water flows away very quickly or cannot go into the ground. And also you create better, better environments. It's more pleasant to live, except for the mosquitoes, of course. Aditi was right about that. But better, parks to walk in, better air to breathe. We've been stepping away from a model where it's always exporting the Dutch Delta works in Zeeland, as we know them, it's really about now promoting green solutions, which I think is in most cases beneficial to everybody.
Tanya, what challenges does Arcadis experience with regard to social inclusion in foreign projects?
Well, what we mainly face as a challenge is the time available to do it. We want to do it right, and to do it right, you need time to do that. So the planning of the project needs to be extended or more flexible, I think, to be able to build the trust with the communities and the stakeholders involved. That's key. Another challenge that we are facing is political and cultural understanding. Mm-hmm. Of course, in some countries we are very well embedded and we know it very well, but in other countries we're still a bit searching. And for that we involve partners like the Red Cross, who are also based in those countries, to exchange this knowledge and to work together on that.
Are there also other ways to deal with those challenges?
Like was mentioned, they have different participatory tools and approaches that could be applied on the local level. So we learn from that. And at the same time, as we are usually doing the design and developing the plan, we can also guide in what is needed to be able to do that, to be able to co-create. So I think there is a good interaction and collaboration possible between different NGOs locally and us as engineering firms.
Yeah, already going on. What ambitions does Arcadis have for social inclusion in the future?
We like to do more than what is required. In other words, you have those legal requirements for environmental social impact assessment and others. Mm-hmm. We like to do more. We want to maximize our impact. And I think you can only maximize your impact if you involve communities. So social inclusivity is key to be able to maximize the impact with a project.
Can you give an example of how to do that and what will it lead to in the longer future?
I think if we start doing that, or actually we already started doing that, but if we start improving that in collaboration with the different Dutch sector parties, like we are doing now, learning lessons learned, sharing internally within our company. We are sharing those lessons with our colleagues, but also externally, so with the COP partners Dennis referred to. and to improve our approach. I think that's the way to go forward. What we also like to do is to not only collaborate and exchange lessons learned with our Dutch partners, mm-hmm. but also locally. So in some countries in Asia, social inclusivity is not high on the agenda yet. So we try to promote it and to guide and help our local partners to create understanding and know how mm-hmm. To apply it in projects as well.
What do you think is needed to achieve those goals in, for example, 1 year or 2 years from now?
I think it's on the agenda already of RVO, but also of the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank. So mm-hmm. the awareness of the funds to have focus and attention to mm-hmm. social inclusion, that's a start, mm-hmm. that's there. Mm-hmm. But then you need to see how to improve, for example, the terms of references, to have enough time in the planning to be able to do it, to find ways to monitor and evaluate the impact of it, and so on.
And keeping the dialogue going, I can imagine, could be key in this process.
Definitely required, yes.
Nice. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. More Water Talks on New Business Radio coming up.
Dit is New Business Radio.